We're all obsessed with our sleep. We're obsessed with having to get 7 or 8 hours of sleep a night. Otherwise, we're going to get dementia if we have too little, and we're going to die young, die too soon if we've got too much sleep. And we've got endless interest in this. And there's been a good paper just recently studying a very large number of people, about 250,000 people, looking at their duration of sleep and their risk of type 2 diabetes, and also looking at whether their diet could actually reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes in people with short duration sleep. The person who did the study or led the study was Dr. Diana Noga, who's a researcher in the Department of Pharmaceutical Biosciences at Uppsala University in Sweden.
We have a lot of evidence that having a short sleep duration could increase your risk of having type 2 diabetes. We also had some experimental studies showing this connection. We also had several studies showing that some types of diets could reduce the risk of developing type 2 diabetes. What we bring as a novelty is...
Can you eat your way out of short sleep?
Yes, that's the idea. Because short sleep sometimes might be a choice, but a lot of times it's not a choice. You have a society that we have today that demands so much of you, and maybe you cannot increase the time you spend in bed. So can I do something else to account for that? And exercise, for example, might help you, but nothing with diet. So we wanted to see, can I have a good and healthy diet and then compensate for my poor sleep?
Okay, so you looked at about nearly 250,000 people and you categorized them according to their sleep duration, because this is a well-observed group of people. And you looked at their dietary habits. Let's look at the sleep first. What influence did sleep duration have on type 2 diabetes incidence?
So if you sleep less than 6 hours, you already have an increase in your risk of developing type 2 diabetes. And this increase is bigger if you sleep less than 5 hours.
So in fact, it's kind of dose related, but in a reverse kind of way.
Yes.
So the less sleep, the bigger the risk. But it wasn't a huge risk. It was like a 16% risk. I mean, it wasn't double the risk.
Yeah, so 16% if you sleep 5 hours, and 41% if you sleep less than 5 hours. So 41%, I think, is something to consider. But of course, we're talking still about a disease that doesn't affect everyone. So we had around 250,000 people, but only 3% of those had type 2 diabetes diagnosed. So we're not saying if you have a short sleep, you're for sure going to have type 2 diabetes. We're just saying this lifestyle can increase your chance. Then if you have other lifestyles that also increase your chance, you're always combining this into a higher possibility of developing it in the future.
So let's factor in this other variable that you looked at, which was diet. So if, for example, you were eating a Mediterranean-style diet, which is the one that people promote as one which might prevent type 2 diabetes, a large variety of vegetables, lower consumption of red meat and processed meat, and your protein from legumes and fish, was that protective? Did that counteract the short sleep?
We cannot say we used the Mediterranean diet. We used some elements of it, and yes, it was protective. It reduced the risk around 25%. So if you had the highest scores in this composite diet that we used in this study, that, as I said, involved eating more vegetables, fruits, and fish, and less processed meat and red meat. So it was protective by itself. So higher scores had a 25% reduction in risk.
Now, one of the problems with research like this, but it's minimized because you've got such vast numbers of people who've been well observed, is that people who might be eating a lousy diet, they might be maybe eating more during the day and they may be fatter. They might be getting less exercise versus more. Did you factor in exercise and weight into this?
Yes, the model that we use for this has several adjustments, socioeconomic adjustments, ethnicity, and so on. And we also factor in that they have low, medium, or high levels of physical activity. We also factor in their BMI. So it's control for these things.
So in other words, you did your best you can to isolate short sleep duration. Some research into sleep duration has said it's a bit of a myth, because when you actually look at sleep duration, there's a poor correlation with all these outcomes. It's actually about sleep quality rather than how long you're sleeping. So if you sleep 6 hours, but it's a good night's sleep, it has lower risk. Did you look at sleep quality?
We control as well for insomnia. That's one of the measures that can be used to determine sleep quality, and the results still remain. I understand that there are people that can have 6 hours sleep and have a good quality sleep, but I would say this is not the common thing. This is not the average.
Why didn't you look at long sleep duration? Because long sleep duration has been also associated with increased risk of type 2 diabetes and premature death, actually.
Yeah, long sleep duration is actually associated with many bad health outcomes. But the thing is, we had a lot of evidence for short sleep duration, more causal evidence. So you have experiments showing that short sleep duration affects insulin sensitivity in the muscles and so on. And for the evidence related to long sleep duration, it's not so causal. So you have other diseases or other conditions.
So you're sicker anyway in the first place.
Yeah.
And you alluded to the mechanism that you believe that there are associations between short sleep duration and how it affects the metabolic control of blood sugar.
Yes, there are some studies showing that there is a reduction in the insulin sensitivity in the muscle tissue. And we know that the muscle tissue is very important for controlling your blood sugar. There are also other mechanisms that were shown, like the effects on the gut microbiome. So we have some signs of how the short sleep can affect the glucose metabolism.
So I think in your study, about 25% of people were reporting 6 hours of sleep a night or less. That's quite a lot. Were you able to ascertain why they were sleeping less?
We didn't have that specific, okay, this is a cause. We know that if you have smokers or current smokers, you have a higher correlation with short sleep. But then it's also a discussion on who is the egg and who is the chicken, because you have this thing that smoking can reduce your sleep, but then you have the thing that people that sleep short have a higher drive to smoke. So it's a hard thing to understand who is causing who. But we don't have this is the cause. And also think of a relationship with the socioeconomic status. If you have a lower socioeconomic status, you were also associated with sleeping less.
These sort of stories tend to panic people thinking, oh, 6 hours and I'm going to get dementia, and I'm going to get type 2 diabetes. My understanding of the interventions in terms of treating sleep is that they're not very good at increasing duration. They're good at increasing sleep quality, but not duration. I mean, is this something that's within the ability of individuals to change?
That depends a lot on the cause of this short sleep duration, right? That's one thing that we say, right? Some people might have a short sleep duration by choice, but some people might have conditions that cause this short sleep duration. So one of the things that we say that's important when we talk about this paper is that, okay, if you're having this short sleep duration, do you know why? Because you might have conditions that you're not aware of. Can I treat these other conditions and then improve my sleep in the process? So this is a thing that's a call that we want to make to people.
So bottom line is, it's a risk factor for type 2 diabetes. You may or may not be able to do something about it depending on cause, but you can reduce the risk by eating a healthy diet and by, you know, although it's not part of this paper, taking more intense exercise and losing a bit,
yes,
of weight and so on, all the usual things, but you might be more motivated to do it if you know you're a short sleeper.
Yes.
Diana, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Diana Noga, I should say, from the from Uppsala University in Sweden. I did the numbers here, Tegan. I mean, I always like to explain statistics a little bit, because these are things called relative risks. So a 16% increase actually means that out of 250,000 people, about 800 got diabetes, who might otherwise not have from their short sleep if this was real. So it's not vast.
No, the other thing that I'm interested in there is the duration versus sleep quality thing. And if it's really hard to know what your sleep quality is. You can time how long you've been asleep for, you can count the hours, but knowing what your sleep quality is and improving that feels kind of ephemeral to me.
Yeah, look, I found a study a couple of years ago when I was writing my last book looking at this issue, and they did a very big analysis of sleep studies. And when you've studied sleep in the laboratory, they do know about your waking periods and so on, but nonetheless, they report largely on duration rather than quality. And when you looked at the sleep quality that people were having, it was much more relevant to what they were experiencing in terms of their health, well-being and mental health and so on. And the other issue is that therapy for sleep is very good. Good therapy for sleep is very good at improving quality, but not duration. So it's a pretty intractable thing, this sleep duration.
That sounds just like something that someone with short sleep duration would say.
Just because I send you emails at 3 a.m., you don't need to keep on slapping it in my face.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.